Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll continue to speak today about the wash and report to the church authority. And we will tackle this subject with the letter of Paul to the church of Corinthians. Paul, he wrote two letters to that church, and his writing was based on reporting that he had received from the church and what's going on. And based on what he had he wrote these letters and the instructions and the teachings. Let's pray, God, thank you for this day.
Yes.
We magnify you, we adore you, we come before the name of Jesus. I pray that the truth will be revealed and your will be done in the life of your church and your people. And let my lips and put words and statements and let your name be lifted up and glorified. Make the message clear and whatever the purpose of sending this worship be accomplished, because your fruit here, and fruit whenever the message, whatever place, people this message will reach. I pray for the fruit, understanding, and wisdom. Everyone will know his responsibility towards you, towards your word, and the church that you have established in every one of us. It's all we ask and pray in this name. Amen. The first question is, from where Paul was receiving the information of the church? If you will read these two letters, Paul was speaking about a certain problem in a specific way. That 100% does not mean that God was telling him what was going on. He was receiving precise reports about sin, shortcomings, things God had got wrong, and certain people had brought him all the information. And when he received the information, sure he prayed and used the observation to God in the scriptures, and he wrote letters, treatments of what was going on. Now the point here is, there is no way for the leader to discern. Some people they say, have you not discerned that? I cannot discern something that you hide if you are not willing to say it. Have you got the point? And that's the way God wants. God has given you eyes and has given you ears. Have to be employed in the proper way. The thing that you saw and I did not see as a leader, the thing that you hear and I did not hear as a leader, I cannot discern it unless you tell it to me. I can hear it. I cannot question the integrity of the people without evidences. But when I hear about something, I will follow up and discern if it's true or wrong. And when I'm sure that it's coming from a true source, I will do an action after the word of God and after the counsel of the Lord and what the Lord needs me to do. Now, from where Paul was receiving what is going on in the church of Corinth? First, from their own members and from their own workers whom they were reporting to Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 15 to verse 18, you see, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourself unto God, and to everyone that helps with us and labor. You told him about Stephanas, he's the first fruit. And you call him to such person, you submit because he is laboring with us and he is helping us in verse 17, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas. Oh, now Stephanas with him. I am glad of the coming of the Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus coast, for that which was lacking on your part, they are supplied. They are telling them now, Stephanas that I spoke about in the first book, now he is coming from you with him to other people, and he said to them that what was left on your part, they are supplied. So what do you think, what they are supplied? Finances, right? That is the next verse. Then you know what they are supplying. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. So this is finances. They have given finances to the Corinthians. So when they came and they refreshed the spirit of Paul, they gave him information, right? Of what is going on. In that he is telling them, when they have reported to me, it is good for you. They have refreshed me, they have refreshed yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye things that are such. Don't be upset with such kind of people who have told me everything was going on in their church. Because when he wrote the letter to them and he sent it, how he knew the specific issues there? He has to tell them from where it came to me. Now how more ways that Paul has received the information about what is going on. You know, from his own workers, co-workers, from Timothy, and the other worker is Titus. In the same chapter, in verse 10 and 11, what he was telling to them, at the end of his letter to them, the first letter, he said, now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. He said, if he has come to you, you treat him well, that you will not be afraid of what's going on. Don't make him afraid, because the work that he's doing is the same as what I'm doing. In verse 11, let no man therefore despise him, because he's afraid that what he has sent him letter, they may react, and they may despise even Timotheus. He told him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So he is telling them, when he will come to you, I am expecting him, he will come to me with the brethren. So he is telling them, don't be upset with him ahead of time, knowing that he is coming to me and he will tell me everything. No, he is working the same work of mine. The third worker, the third source of information. Maybe he has other sources or other people reporting, but this is what the scripture informs me. Maybe there are more scripture, but this is what I am aware of this time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the third worker that was dealing with the Corinthians church and was reporting to Paul is Titus. Chapter 7, verse 5 to 7, Paul says, for when we were come in Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were troubled on every side, without their fighting within their fears. Their flesh, nevertheless, God has comforted those. God has comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. From where he came, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire your morning, your fervent mind toward me so that I rejoice the more so in you. He made titles. And titles most likely the person who carries the letter of Paul to them. It has certain effects they need to implement in their church. When Titus came back to him and he met him, Titus himself was comforted. Titus himself was happy the way they welcomed him and the way they were respond. And Titus told him also their endless desire. Also their mourning, they were mourning for the sins they had repented of. And also their fervent mind and thought about Apostle Paul. So that is the third person who was communicating with Paul about the, what is going on at the church of Corinth dealing with that issues. Now what are the issues that Paul was dealing with? I'm not going to tell all the issues, but I choose a few of them just to link them that this issue was dealt with based on what he had here and what was reported to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Say, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Tell them, all of you speak the same thing, same mind, no division, no one jumps right, the other left. Verse 11, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So who told him about the fighting there and division? The household of Chloe. He needs to tell them who informed him. Can we get the point? They report something correct, what they are afraid? Yeah? They report it, and you tell them who reports me. That is the issue between them about division. Their mind and heart, different direction. Different than direction of Apostle Paul. He told them, this needs to be corrected. Can he deal with it? That is the issue about the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17 and 18, he told them, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Here when you are coming together, your meeting is not for good, for the worse. In verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So he's saying to them, I hear that there is a division among you, and that he believes that. He believes what is going on. So, from where he hears it, that the people have taught him, not the Holy Spirit told him. People have taught him the information, and he needs to deal with it, and you know, he dealt with it. The third topic that we want to discuss here today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and where the Paul, he did not say, declare unto me, or I hear it. First Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, to say, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now he told him that I received a report about it. Official things. Report. So somebody coming in that somebody was speaking and he kept that between his toes as a division, or between his toes that there is, when they come together and they ask about there is a problem. Not about this. He says, somebody come to me and report me this is true in particular. And he named the person. He didn't put the name, but he says somebody has his father's wife. So they know, right? He made it very clear, reported to me, maybe there are three who came. They are all just there too. And he needs to deal with it. One chapter, whole chapter was dealt with. So that's one person. Now how come we know the issues? If no one will care. Obviously, reporting is very important. Because if the problem would not reach me, I can't do anything about it. Even here from the scriptures, he understood that Paul was writing in response to what he hears. But the problem is coming to him that he is giving teaching grace. Why? That issue was in the Corinthian church. The church in Corinth, versus the city of Corinth, fornication, sexual relationship before marriage, and adultery outside marriage was something so common in that place. And it also has affected the church place, because the Gentiles have come to the church and they brought these things inside the church. And because it is so common outside, when it is inside also, it is everywhere, this is things that you cannot avoid. Now, why this sin was there rampant in that place? Why immorality now is rampant everywhere? You know, there are principles when we are not aware of it, we do the sin. The first principle is, wife is a property of someone. Can you repeat it? Wife is a property of someone. And ultimately it belongs to God, whom he will give that woman to which man. Have you get the point? When we don't have this understanding, so it is fine with me, anything that I can start or get. When you go to the park where you park your car, have you get any person car and go? Or your own car only? You cannot get somebody car and go. When the people does not have the understanding that I should be with the woman that God has ordained for me, not what I like, not anything, no. Woman is a property. That people need to be aware. If that is not there, fornication will be there, divorce and remarriage, live in relationship, adultery, extramarital affair will be rampant. And that was going on in the Corinthian church. Paul is saying them, that is not everyone is doing, that is a sin, and we need to deal with it. In verse 2, he told them, "Ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you." You see, you are talking about, you are happy about it. Yeah. That he will come to say, "Where is your wife? He's the love of his father. And everyone knows about him. They are all responding with him. He said, you are Prabhupada, you are boasting about him. He told that you should mourn. Why they are not mourning? Because they are not completing that sin. In verse 9, he told them, for I, you see, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Possibly another letter or another epistle previous to this, he told them, don't go along fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with adulterers, for then must be needs go out of the world. What is saying in here? I wrote to you before, don't go along fornicators. And when he wrote this to them, they understood that we cannot go with anyone, fornicators. So what are you speaking to, guys? Everyone is doing this. And from morning to evening, we are meeting with people doing that. But the same thing, I wrote it to you. But I am not speaking about those outside the church. Outside the church, let them do. We are not called to judge them. But when it's coming inside the church, we are very well called to deal with it. One of the things that make us not report sin, when we see it everywhere, we see it everywhere, but inside the church something different. When it comes that you believe in Christ and you are a brother and sister, you are being part of the church, and that sin needs to be dealt with, that sin or other sin. When you see it outside, that's another picture. These are non-believers. God will judge them, but as for us, inside, he needs to judge that sin. So the way that they do not report to Paul, first, it is not realistic. If I want to report to him this case, well, there are any other people, so we will fight against all this? No. He say, I spoke not to associate with fornicators, not outside the church. Outside the church, in your workplace, your relationship with that person only works. That is not our issue, but inside the church, we are dealing with a brother and sister who are part of the family of Christ. That's why in verse 11, but now, I have written unto you, in this letter, not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. So he said to them, now there is somebody among you who has done this, I don't want you to keep company with him. Somebody called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous, or an adulterer or a raider or a drunkard or an extortioner, was such and one, now one to him. And he go forward, verse 12, for what I have to do to judge them? Also that are that without. Do not ye judge them that are within? He said, well, we don't have right for that also, but for that is that we have to judge them. But them that are without, God judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, that report that has received, Paul received, it is not general instruction. He received a report about one person, and he called the church to call them not to have company with him. So the instruction is here, everyone to excommunicate with that person in particular. So he's calling the whole church to the church to repent tomorrow for this thing. He's saying to them, outside the church, those fornicators, if he's in your place, or he's your neighbor, or he's your boss, or you are buying from him, or he's repairing something in your house, you have nothing to do with that issue. But then if he's speaking to the brother whom you know what he did, his name is this, he married his father was bad for that sin, you need to excommunicate, not to communicate, not to have company with him. That is what he sent in this letter, that he sent through Titus to them. That's why he was respecting Titus. He wanted to see what was their response to what he had sent. Because that sin, fornication, was so rampant in Corinth. It was so acceptable, so normal. And it's really even the church, they are boasting about it. They are happy with it. They are indifferent to that sin. And Paul needs to deal with it. Not only for the sake of the word of God, for the sake of the scripture that should not be broken, but also in the Corinthian church, they are Jewish people. Jewish people who are following the scriptures, and that sin should not be inside the church. Probably one of the reasons that sin was not being reported properly before to Paul, because they know Paul, he will not accept this. But they know the culture of Paul is different than the culture of the Corinthians. He's telling them, indirectly, even the culture is different, but the word of God is there. It's the same, we have to handle that issue well. And he gives them very, very grievous instructions in verse 4 and verse 5. You know, certain times we don't report. Even if I would say what the leader of the church will do. Yeah? Because that's the misunderstanding. Everyone's doing it. So we will go and fight everyone? No. He makes it clear to them that we need to develop himself. Okay? Now, the next is clear. Even if I would tell the leader what he will do, he gives them the impression what he will do. He gives them outline to the other brothers how to be dealt with. In verse 1 and 5, that's why every case has its own merit. But me, I need to know about it, so I will give direction. In verse 1 and 5, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together about this issue, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He told him, this is to call the brother and tell him that he needs to separate it from that. He will need to separate it from that woman. If he refused, deliver his body to Satan so that he will destroy the flesh, his spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. That was the instruction of God to Paul to write to them about this issue. Now, before you report such things, come to your mind what the leader would do. Listen to your job. Your job, you need to tell it. What God will speak to the leader, even the leader does not know. Amen? Don't play God. What you saw, what you hear, what you know is wrong, tell it to the right person. The right person will, is he will be after that responsible what he needs to do. Amen? Paul wrote that letter. And if we follow the scriptures, we can see that the second letter of Paul is containing information that this brother has been repented. If you will read the book of the Second Corinthians, chapter 2, you know, when we cross our own understanding, we are doing evil. When those three, they came and report to Paul what was lost from their path, and they refreshed him and they refreshed the Corinthians, they told him the truth. God gives them the word that they need to be delivered from the grave.
and salvation to flow to that one who sins and to the whole church to take a stand clear before God and man. In book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we can read what Paul is searching them now from verse 5. What he is telling them. The first letter, so to tell that person, the second letter. Verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So all the whole church has agreed that they will not keep company with him. So how Paul know that is reported to him. So he is telling him now, he has received punishment because of what he did. And what he like here, after they told him that he will not keep company with you, and they really did it, he gave out what he did wrong, but they don't have a church or this woman. Clear is true. When he did it, when he chose the church, so that contrary wise, you ought rather to forgive him. So he's speaking now with them to forgive him, so that means that he repent, right? There's no other possibility. So you ought not to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with our much sorrow. So here, when he receives a poor report, he gives it to them. But when that person repents, now Paul is responsible to restore him. He is seeking the church. He needs to forgive, to accept him back, because he starts to do what is good. Verse 8. He told them, you have to forgive him so that you will not be full of sorrow. Wherefore I beseech that he will compare your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So the second letter was written upon a report that is not repentant. Yes? After that, everyone is decided to follow the instruction of Paul. Now he is writing again that he will be baptized. This is the importance of right reporting. When we don't report sins, we need to report and follow up the instruction. He gives them the instruction, they did it. After that came back to him to report the response of the person in the church, he gives next teaching in the second letter to them. What they need to do now. Verse 10. When you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sake, forgive I, it is in the person of Christ. You see again? You forgive and also forgive him, because already the situation is different. He repented. Verse 11. Let us read what you wrote. Let Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now why he mentioned here Satan? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, deliver that person to Satan. When he repented, you have to take him back out of his hands. If you will keep him outside, he'll be taken by Satan. Now, reporting should be continuous going on. Their sin, Paul should know. He gives them instruction. After he sends the instruction also, reporting is important for their follow-up. Because he needs to know what is going on, so that he will be able to follow up in a clear way. In verse 13, chapter 2, and we have reached verse 11, verse 12. After he finished this to them, when we read verse 12, in verse 11 he says that Satan should get advantage of us. Verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Why, he's speaking about another topic now? He's speaking about the issue. Now he's speaking that when he was in Troas, when he was preaching the gospel, so what is linked with that, with the issue of that brother? In verse 13, he said, I had no rest. Why he had no rest? In my spirit, what happened? Because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of him, I went from there into Macedonia. So what is the relationship with that brother? When he sent the letter first time, he sent it by Titus. And while Titus, after Titus left, God opened an opportunity for him to be there, gospel in his cross. He said, I went there, but I have no rest in my spirit. Why? Because my mind was with Titus and with you. How are you going to respond to what I send to you? And he was bewildering in his mind because there was no report had come from them. My point here, when you see strength report, when you see also victory report, so that we have rest in our peace, in our mind and rest, because he would know what is going on. When you identify Titus, at that time there's no telephone, there's no email that they call, there's no internet. The person should come himself to Paul reporting what had happened. When Titus did not come, he said, I will take my affairs and went to Macedonia in order to find Titus to hear about your news. And that's true. Finally he met Titus in Macedonia and Titus told him what had happened in the Corinthian church based on the letter that he sent with him. Let's go to chapter 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's in verse 5. Now the story will be clear. How the importance of the reporting. If positive, we report. Negative, also report. If Absalom died in the battle, report it. We need to know the information clear. Don't hide. We have no rest in spirit. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled of every side. Why troubled every side? Without were fighting, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Christ. When he came, he told him exactly that, the positive response of the Corinthians to the discipline that he had seen. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. Himself was happy with you. You make him happy. You were welcoming him and welcoming the city and then right way. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, I mean they were crying for their sin, your fervent mind toward me, you were thinking about me, so that I rejoice the more. Now it's very clear. The report that he received was very good to purge that sinner from that church. That's why he told them, they refresh me and they refresh you. It is for their good, it is for your good, they taught us everything. Verse 8, now you need to explain to them, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. My letter was painful, my discipline was painful, I don't repent of it because you need God. I don't repent, though I did repent because it is painful. It is painful, but I need to do it, there is no other way. I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorrow, though it were but for a reason. He says, that letter I sent, it makes you sad, but there was a reason. Verse 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry or regret, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. That letter brought you to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, not after worldly manner. Worldly manner, sorry. Worldly manner, they speak about sin, they speak about the bad effect of the sin, but they will not take any action about them. That's what devil wants. My letter brought you sorrow of a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. The thing that you say that the letter is heavy, his letter is heavy, and his talk is heavy, and painful that you sent us, that you spoke to us, yes, but cause you no damage. He calls you, what you say, how you say it? In verse 9, receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow washes repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow brings repentance and salvation. We don't repent of it, if that what we did had brought into your life. But the sorrow of the world washes death. Sorrow of the world, they speak about sin, they give opinion, it's not good, but they will not face it. That's what devil wants. Sin inside the church, immorality there, sin continues there, everyone is doing it, no one is dealing with it. That's what devil wants. That wants death to come inside. Verse 11, for behold, the self-same thing that you sorrow after a godly sorrow, that after godly sorrow, what carefulness is wrought in you? You make it careful. Yeah. What cleaning of your mind? Yeah. What indignation? Yeah. What fear? Yeah. What vehement desire? Yeah. What zeal? Yeah. What revenge? In all things you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. After that letter, all the negative things have been moved away from them and start to do the right thing, and they get the zeal to serve the Lord. Verse 12, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that hath done the wrong. I'm not writing because of that person. I have nothing with him, I have no personal issue with him. That's what he's saying. Nor for his cause that suffer wrong. I'm not speaking about other people who get suffer of what that man did. I am not after such things. He says, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. That was how Paul was caring for them in the sight of God. You see, I'm not having any grudges or personal things, or I'm not moving by pain or emotions. I am doing my care to you in the sight of God, and I want it to be in a correct way. I pray that this message to you today makes you overcome. Certain times we think What the church can do, what the leader can do with that issue. Behind the church or behind the leader there is a God. God wants you to care. What God will do, that's not your job. What the leader will respond, that is his accountability towards God. Your accountability to tell what has happened, what you saw, what you hear, in a clear way, so the church will take the right way of what we need to be done. That's all. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your love, your care to us. Come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that this message will be planted in our heart and mind, and we will do, O Lord, whatever you want us to do, our responsibility before you, before the brethren, before your word. You lead us, O God, step by step, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, to deal with issues that is dangerous, hidden issues, Lord. I'm not aware why you sent this message, but Lord, if there are dangerous issues that have been hidden, and we still need to, I need to know about it to help the people to come out from sin. Lord, make it appear, make the people willing to report precise information so that sin will be purged from among us here or other places, as long as sin will be rich of people. God, I pray. Lord, take us where you want us to move in the name of Jesus. More love. Oh Lord, we bless you, Lord. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you and bless you for today. Your word to us. Give us life. And give us action. As you bless us, enlarge your territory, Lord, get your hand with us. And give us, Father, from harm, blessedness, continue. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.